You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org. Here's Pastor Greg Mott.
Somebody's got to be able to come and say, you know what? I'm taking it off the burner. missing, not proximity. Now, people say oftentimes, well, we came back to the Lord and I've walked away from the Lord. It is physically impossible to walk away from the Lord. You cannot physically walk away from the Lord. He is everywhere. And if you're a believer in Christ, the glory of the new covenant is in Christ lives in you. Through the Holy Spirit, that you accepted Christ as your Savior, and by the death and resurrection of Christ, He now dwells in you. You are never in a different proximity with God. But you can be in a different intimacy with God. We when we say we've walked away from God, our focus is shifted, and now we're not focused on the Lord. And Abram returns to the Lord, yes, in proximity, in good Old Testament style. But we see it with New Testament eyes to realize that our return is a return to intimacy, not proximity. If you're married, you know that you can be in proximity to your spouse, but not in intimacy in your relationship. You can be laying in bed together, and that 18 inches, that 12 inches that you're apart, the anger has separated you 12 miles, though you are physically 12 inches apart. The intimacy of the relationship has nothing to do with the proximity. And we can walk around as roommates instead of walking around as intimate soulmates. You know, most marriage fights end with somebody swallowing their pride and just rolling to the middle of the bed and saying, I'm sorry. So he returns in intimacy. And we see in the New Testament that Abram is not remembered for his sin. He's remembered for his faith. Because he returns in an intimate relationship with the Lord and says, God, I want to return in intimacy. He basically goes back to the basics. He goes back to the basics. He says, I'm going to go to that same place. I'm going to pitch my tent just like I did when I built that altar. And I'm going to go back to the basics. Christianity is not rocket science. It is fellowship, devotion, and obedience. We like to sit around here, gather your hearts, growing our souls, giving our lives. Those are the three components of walking in relationship with Christ. Gathering our hearts with the people of God, growing our souls in our personal time with the Lord and in Bible study, giving our lives in service and missions. And those three things are a three-legged stool upon which our lives are built. So we just come back to the basics. Not rocket science, just the basics. You ever driven past a place and you drive past a place where God really did something in your life and just remember a simpler time? This weekend we were at College Station and out of the hotel window I could see the house or the apartment complex. It was where I was as a freshman when I really started just walking with the Lord as a freshman. I drive past different places and see different moments that God just back to the basics moments. We were there a very difficult weekend for a funeral of a family member. Kelly's first cousin, my wife, 42 years old, 3-year-old to 5-year-old, brain cancer, went home to be with Jesus. And that man of God, Lane, a good friend of mine, we went for the visitation, the funeral, the whole deal. And I'm going to preach the message yesterday. I preached the message for the funeral. And whenever you're going to preach the message, you always go again and check this. Tough stuff if you got a lot of testimony because they steal all your illustrations throughout all the testimonies. One of the things I was going to say was this. Lane spent 17 years never missed a time with God. 17 years he never missed a day. Basics. And it came out over and over and over again in the funeral message, in the testimonies, in his life. I was amazed. I was sitting there the way that it happened. He went to the Ukraine and he saw people who didn't have a Bible that wanted one. He came home, he saw a shelf of Bibles with his name on it that he wasn't reading. And he decided that he was going to spend time with God back to the basics. And so here, now, after his death, the testimony was that his life was absolutely amazing. Back to the basics. One of his brothers walked into the room, and the room was a hospital bed from hospice, a toilet in his bedroom, and then the bed that he used to sleep in, with a wheelchair in the corner for this 42-year-old ex-football player. And his brother walked in and was upset, mad, and said, what is God doing? And Lane Christians have conflict. We need new eyes in conflict. We need new eyes in conflict. To know when we go into the conflict, to happen, when we stay out of it. A bulldog can whip a skunk every day, but it's not worth it every time. And we've got to be able to have the eyes to be able to look. So we're going to have some different eyes right here in the passage. We've got my eyes on this, but I want to get some different eyes on this. And Adam makes testify to Jesus. And so many things he had his vision be cleared out to be able to see things clearly again. Excess can bring crisis for us. A billionaire put it like this. He said, I've been bossed more by my fortune than I have bossed it. My fortune has bossed me more than I've bossed it. That's what he's saying. Henry Ford said, I was happier doing a mechanic's job. John F. Kennedy said, this country cannot afford to be materially rich and spiritually poor. Boston Perot got an intern of his house. The intern said, look how big that house is. And Boston Perot looked at him and said, you don't have any things you know about that house that big. The burden of keeping it all, the heaviness of keeping it all, of maintaining it all, of getting it all, of getting more of it, all of those things begin to be this burden that this accepts, begin to be in crisis. So what we do is all of us are filthy rich in the world's eyes. What we do is we're satisfied in Jesus where God is us. So that now we look at all the things that God has given us and we use them for His glory. We say, Lord, you take it. And at some point, our heart goes, I got enough. I got more than enough. I'm satisfied in you. I got more than I need. And so from that heart, I'm not going to let this become a crisis of maintaining. I'm going to allow this to be blessing of using. And Abram comes with that kind of heart. So he and Lot stand there. And as they're standing there, it's time to choose. And he says, Lot, you pick. You see. You know what happens. Let's look at the scripture and see what that happens. It's in verse 7 is where it begins. And it says this. And Abram, and four little rows between Abram's herdsmen and herdsmen of Lot. So they got all these people with staff is hard. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. It's not the whole land before you. Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. I'm with you, that's not worth giving us go. Verse 10, we've not done this part. Lot looked up. Underline, Lot looked up. And saw that the whole plain of Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord. And it goes through now. Jump down to verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look to the north and the south and the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Verse 10 it says, and Lot looked up. Who was the person that was making the looking up? Lot looked up. Verse 10, it says, after Lot left Abram said to God, Abram. After he left, after Lot left, then the Lord spoke to him. And then the Lord says to him, lift up your eyes. What is God obsessed? What is self-obsessed? Lot looked up and said, I want the whole plain. That's the plain of the Jordan. What's the Jordan? You know this. The Jordan is a river. The Jordan River. We in our culture, we even see all throughout history that rivers divide things. What's the division between Texas and Louisiana? The Sabine River. What's the division between Oklahoma and Texas? The Red River. What's the division between Texas and Mexico? The Rio Grande. Rivers divide countries and divide states. Lot could have said, look, I'll take the right of the river. You take the left of the river. He said, I'll go holy. He looked up at what looked best to him. We're going to see in a minute, it's going to be best. What looks best to us in our eyesight may not be what looks best to God in His eyesight. So we've got to say, Lord, I'm not going to see with the clarity of my vision. Clarity of vision is going to bring wisdom and choices because I've been back to basics. So Abram is worship God, step forward and back to the basics. And God looks at us and says, I want this. Jesus plus, God plus. Abram says, I got enough with God. I can take what I left does not matter. And then God says, now that Lot is gone, God begins to speak to him. And God lifts his eyes. And the vision is based in faith, not in fear. That's the big difference in this chapter of Scripture. Whose eyes? Who are you calling? Who's calling your eyes to look up? The second thing that happens is this. Choose relationship over stuff. Choose relationship over stuff. Abram has an opportunity to choose relationship over stuff with his nephew. He chooses relationship over stuff. He doesn't choose to win the battle. He chooses the goal at the end. Stan McKeon was a professional hockey player. He's in a lot of fights on the ice. And Judah something different. The British military tells a story that one night these two ships were engaged in battle, shooting torpedoes and bullets and cannons back and forth. The morning came, they were both laying, both ships were laying, and they were both flying the British flag. They were shooting their own side all that long. Husband and wife, they would look each other in the eye and say, I love you, we are the same team. You are not my enemy, I am not your enemy. You are on the same team. And sometimes you say, we're on the same team, let me give you a hug, is what you do. But even in the midst of that, you've got to realize that that conflict, you're on the same team. Somebody's got to take the water out of the kettle. Somebody's got to turn the heat down. Somebody's got to realize we're on the same team. I submit to you that I can hurt my wife better than any person on the face of the earth. I know where her weak spots are. She can hurt me more than any person on the face of the earth. She knows where my weak spots are. Somebody's got to walk in the kitchen before it starts whistling and turn it down and empty the pot and take it off the burner. Choose relationship over stuff. We say for a movie, Family Man, I think was the name of the movie. I choose us. Whatever it is, I want barbecue, she wants salad. I choose us. Then go eat the salad. You get the barbecue tomorrow. We end up with a bunch of fights over things that don't matter. Because we're not choosing a relationship over our will. And we want to win more than we want this relationship. And there's battles that when you win them, you're losing. You are losing by winning. You are going after something you do not want to win that battle. Number three, and finally, choose rescue over retribution. Choose rescue over retribution. It happens in Genesis 14, if you'll turn to verse 12. Genesis 14, verse 12. Abram chooses rescue over retribution. And in choosing this, we see in verse 12, they also carried off Abram's, they also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. So the land he chose, he ends up in a battle being carried off. We'll tell you about the battle in a minute. Verse 14, let's look at that. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 trained men, one in his household, and went in pursuit as far as the Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as the Hobah and north of Damascus. And he covered all, and he recovered all the goods, and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. Here's what happens in chapter 14. Four kings go to war with five kings. The four kings win, and Lot is taken hostage. Abram then comes and he whips the four kings, because if God's on your side, then how many kings are on the other side? So he whips the four kings, and he goes and he rescues his nephew Lot. Would you do that? Most of us would not. We would find gleeful pleasure in the fact that Lot got what he deserved. Lot chose to go to Sodom. You chose that land. You got captive. Ha, ha, ha. Now we may spiritualize it a little bit, but you and I both know there's an evil to our flesh. We enjoy watching people fall. We enjoy watching people fall. Especially if they wrong us. If they wrong us and they trip and fall, we love it. We may not say it, but we do. We love it. And Abram chooses rescue over retribution. He says, I'm going after you to rescue you. In grace, I'm going after you. That is exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. We chose the land of our sin. We said, we want the whole thing. We don't want it to split up. We want the whole thing. And we put the water of sin in our lives. And we turned up the flame of disobedience. And Jesus, in the midst of the whistle of the evaporation of our lives, sent in the Calvary. Not 318 men to be the Calvary. He was one man on Calvary's cross.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.